It has been a while with twin schedules, etc. We are underway with Tech Talk here on a Saturday, and we just want to remind you, Tech Talk is available anytime you want at the website WCCRadio.com. We have tons of webcasts, a lot of evergreen shows, a lot of great topics, so take advantage of that and check out all the podcasts. We've been doing the show for years. Doug, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, not so bad. It's been quite a week. I got picked to do beta testing on a smart wheelchair. What an animal this thing is. Right, and I've been kind of wrapped up with that lately. It's quite the vehicle, quite the mobility vehicle indeed.
Well, yeah, and I want to get a report on that for yeah. sure. Now, we want to...
It has more sensors than a Tesla.
Well, hey, anything that makes the life of those dealing with disabilities easier is always a good thing. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And we've got a great one to start the show today, Doug. And this is a smartphone and buying a smartphone. And someone wants to get their grandparents a smartphone. For ease of use, would you recommend an Android or an iPhone? Now, I can't comment because I've always had an iPhone, but you've had both. In your experience, what do you recommend?
Well, I think that if I was looking for something from my parents, it would definitely be an iPhone, and I would probably actually go right to Apple and see if I could get a renewed or a refurbished. You're going to save a little money, but they are protected 9 ways from Sunday. The only thing is explain how iCloud works to them so they understand the backups. And if they don't have synchronizing to 3 or 4 or 5 devices, they should have no problem at all. People are complaining about Apple. Oh, they're too strict. They're too stringent and this kind of thing. But my experience has been it just works. It just simply works. And so if you got that, you can rely on it. I think that's probably the most important. I'm tending towards iPhone these days.
Yeah, and Doug, another thing I would recommend, you know, limit the apps and keep it simple. Start with here's how, and this sounds, you know, for people that have been using them for years, it's very intuitive. Here's how you use the phone. Here's okay. how in a pinch you get to 911. Here's yep. how you turn it on. Here's how you shut it down. You know, yep. I think start slowly with a novice user on any of these devices. Don't say, well, you can get an app for the weather, and you can do this, and you can do that, yeah. and you can order pizza, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't go there right away.
No, I agree. And even as long as I've been playing with smartphones, I'm really selective what I download. And I try to do a little research on the developer, trying to figure out if they're real, and you'd be surprised what you can find out in a couple of minutes. Yeah, we respect your privacy. Well, not so much. When they got to have access to all your data, that would be a red flag for me. So I agree. I would warn them about apps big. I would also say, listen, you know, sometimes when you go to power it up, it seems like it's not working. Just hold the button in until you see the Apple. That's real common with the new iPhones, too. Yeah. But we have to acknowledge that at this point, you know, everybody was complaining about Apple and AI. Their AI is coming along, and it's coming along slowly. I would rather see that approach. I really would. This diving into things and letting things test out and beta in the wild with AI is not smart. And Apple is not taking that approach. They're taking a conservative approach. And it's starting to work, and it's starting to work good. So, yeah, I think absolutely. And now they're talking about iOS 26 coming out. That's going to be just an animal. So, yeah, look forward to it. And, of course, now they come out with that $600 laptop. What a sweetheart. I did play with one, by the way. It's a nice machine. It's just an unbelievable machine. For $600, you can't go wrong. But, yeah, for iPhones, I would definitely get an iPhone. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think about iPhone and using that and some of the apps and some of the functionality, you know, once again, start slow, explain, things you can do. And then the door opens a little bit further and they get more comfortable. But I think for a lot, just being able to FaceTime or reliably use it for phone calls, for that matter, get on the internet, a few simple apps is a good start. One other thing I do want to bring up, and we bring it up from time to time, it's still important. Try to remember, we leave these things on 24/7. They're on the charger. They're in our pocket. They're in a purse. They're in a bag. They're with us all the time. Remember, I generally do it on a Saturday night when I go to bed, power that phone down, and wake it up on a Sunday. It is good on all this equipment, I believe, and you and I have talked about it for years. Give it a break. Power it down one night a week.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the thing is if nothing else, it's going to reduce the static. And we are living with static today. And radio interference, electromagnetic interference, well, when you shut them down, just let it drain. It does have a positive effect. And that's all digital equipment. But the smaller the equipment, the more important that particular aspect is. One other thing we should probably mention with the iPhone, too, especially for the seniors and us baby boomers. If you have any medical problems, or they're going to come sooner or later, the combination of an iPhone and an Apple Watch is absolutely to die for. If you slip and fall, it'll automatically ask you if you need to call 911 on your watch. And you got your emergency contacts all set up. This thing will contact 4 or 5 people simultaneously. If you, in the case of an accident, if you're in a car accident, it knows. If you slip and fall, it knows. They've done a really, really good job on this.
Yeah, and I think another thing Apple has done over the years is, and they've run ads for this and take ads for what it's worth, but I think of any major manufacturer, privacy, how they protect you and your device and your data, I think they've done a stand-up job over the years and over the decades.
Oh, no doubt.
That is one of their hallmarks.
No question. And the thing is on the internet, here we are today, there's very little privacy, no matter you do it. Apple's doing a better job than most. I really do. When you connect to a, that data is being exchanged, and you can minimize it somewhat, but you're never going to get rid of all of it. No way. There's just no way. Big thing is to keep yourself safe from malware and phishing and all the stuff that we've been preaching for 20 plus years. That's huge. I still think that Apple does a better job on a one-to-one device against the world than any other phone. I don't know if you heard this, but it's rumored that the Android people now, they're saying that, well, the iPhone is holding us back. Well, I don't understand that. Doesn't that sound just like a whiny, and it's going around a lot. I don't get it. I don't know how they come to that conclusion. I just think it's kind of unique that these large companies, sometimes they act like babies.
Well, and I think when you have a dominant piece of hardware like the iPhone versus Android devices, Google's come out with a phone. There are alternatives out there in the marketplace.
Oh, sure.
But certainly for my money, it has been a gold standard. And like I say, I've taken care of these devices. I think it's important to have a good case on these phones. I don't know how many times I've been a big believer. And that's another recommendation. I've been a big fan of OtterBox. Cases have come a long way. I generally don't like the screen protectors. But
I don't use them. Never have.
Yeah, but you need a good case, because I don't know how many times I've dropped this phone out of my pocket, onto the pavement, onto the hardwood floor, etc. And I've just been a big fan of OtterBox. There's other good ones out there, but I think they're worth their weight in gold. I think they've saved me a lot of money over the years.
Oh, no doubt. And when you're looking at cases, if you don't care for the design of an OtterBox, just make sure that it has military-grade protection. So you can drop this thing out of the second story building and it'll be okay. And almost all of them do that now. It's getting better. Something I never would have thought about, but I drop mine out of my pocket. I run over it with a wheelchair. and I thought, oh my God, it's gone. But it's not. It's been fine. I've been very fortunate. So things happen. You don't want them to, but they happen.
Yeah, and that is huge. And I cringe when I see young people with their very expensive phones in their back pocket, whether it's an Android or an iPhone. No case, just in the back pocket, strolling around. I'm like, oh, yeah.
No good could ever come from that.
Yeah.
Nothing good can ever come from that, ever.
Yeah, don't do that. By the way, we have another one we want to get in before the weather break here at 3:30, and this is a good one. Here we go with Microsoft again. This time, Microsoft says Publisher will be no longer end of life scheduled for October of 26. It will no longer be included in Microsoft 365. It'll stop providing security updates or technical support for existing files, convert them into more permanent formats like PDF, etc. And Doug, this is a good opportunity, and I know there is a lot of fans of Microsoft Office and Word and Excel and Publisher, etc. But this is a good opportunity to become familiar with something like Libre and other, because Publisher is a great tool, but we're coming up on end of life here this fall.
Well, you know, and the thing is you can actually download a program called GIMP, Graphic Image Manipulation Program, and it will do everything that Photoshop does. It's just a wonderful, and it's open source. In fact, Photoshop is actually built on that, and there's news happening with Adobe. Photoshop, now, you're probably going to see that for less money than you ever have in the past. It's happening. Big thing we should talk about this year, too, Stevie, is from everything I look at, this is not the year to be buying new hardware. It really isn't. I normally wouldn't say a thing like that, but with the prices the way they are, and it's going to be a tough, tough year for this industry all the way around. The controls that are being put on memory, which I think is ridiculous, but it's driving the RAM costs up, storage costs are up, cases are going for a lot more money than they ever have. It's and I don't know if it's going to get better next year or not. I just say that use some caution. If you need a new computer, plan on shopping a lot. And make sure you know exactly what you want. Ask questions. Don't be shy about that at all. It's going to be important to take a look at the warranty and service turnaround, too. That seems to still be an issue, and it's kind of coming back to bite us a little bit on that. But good hardware, but it's going to cost you, no doubt.
And Doug, you and I are big believers in this. Whether you're looking for a PC or Apple equipment, it's hard to beat factory refurbs. If you're looking for a deal, we have had tremendous luck in our house with factory refurb Macs over the years, factory refurb iPad, you name it. This is really nice equipment, and you can save some real money.
It's the first place I go. I wish I could have got refurbed or renewed appliances when we moved in here. I did ask. I was that serious. We don't do that. Too bad. But that's the first place I go. I have a keyboard on my desk that's a Logitech. Beautiful keyboard. Retails for $139. I bought it as a refurb for $59. It's perfect. I don't know how it ended up being a refurb.
Yeah,
it can be wireless or wired. I can have it connected to three different devices. I mean, it's really quite the device. So, I wouldn't have paid $140 for a keyboard. I had trouble paying the $60.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Doug, that's a great point. And I think everyone wants to save money. But when it comes to computers in particular, you can find monitors, same boat as well. Look at the factory refurbs. Direct from the manufacturer, and all the big ones have this type of equipment available, and I think it's a great, great bargain. Everybody wants brand new, but sometimes refurb's just as good as brand new. You get the warranty, the support, etc. Quick break. We'll come back with more with Doug in a moment. We have the weather. It is Tech Talk. And by the way, all our programs over the years have been archived. They're available at WCCRadio.com. And we invite you to take advantage. Of course, this time of year, we're subject to Twins schedules. Twins play tonight in Arizona with our lineup card beginning at 8:30. So we're able to bring you Tech Talk today live here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk here on a Saturday. Lovely day wherever you are. We're glad you're joining us. Doug Swinhart joining us here as well. And Doug, we want to follow up a little bit more about new equipment and if you're in the market. And one thing I didn't bring up, we talked about factory refurbs, whether it's Apple Mac or any of the other big-time manufacturers, they are going to have refurbs available. But I still think in this day and age, depending, if you just want something to get on the Internet, something simple, something straightforward, I'm still a big fan of Chromebooks. We haven't been on in a while, but it is really a good option. And for under $300, if you have a Gmail account, you can get into one, you can pop on and be up and running in no time. And they're available at Target or Walmart or wherever you shop. You can really get a pretty nice machine for very affordable.
Yeah, and I don't think people should be linking that in, linking the Chromebooks in with PCs. It's closer to a Mac. It really is. The Chromium operating system is built on Linux. You can't really call it Linux anymore because it's a proprietary operating system, but it runs and runs and runs and runs. I really like Chromebooks. I truly do. That was way, way good. And I would be amazed. I bet you probably 80% of the people using computers, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, they really could get by with a Chromebook. They truly could. Now, I like a bigger screen and that kind of thing, but you can get a desktop and a Chromebook, or you can just connect a monitor and a keyboard to a laptop or a netbook. They are just a tremendous machine. I'm really glad that you had your experience that you did. Got to get the word out, and I think it will help everybody concerned, especially people who are intimidated by computers. It's a wonderful first machine. Absolutely perfect.
You know, and I have a Mac, and I for personal use, I use Chromebooks, and at my full-time job, I use a PC. So I use all of these devices. And I have to say, you know, for the portability and not having a ton of money tied up in the hardware, and this is where, you know, if you're out and about and you're traveling around or you use it outside, I'm not saying $300 is not a lot of money, but if that machine gets damaged or dropped or broken, it's not like damaging a MacBook Air or let alone a MacBook Pro or a high-end PC. It's something that if it does break, it's not a big a deal.
No, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Here's the thing. Now, you've had this Chromebook a long time, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah, I've had a couple of Chromebooks for years.
Yep, let me ask you this. How much money have you spent on antivirus and malware for those machines?
None.
Oh, my. How about a VPN?
None.
No, it's a different operating system, and first of all, I don't know if there's anybody even trying to attack them. They just say, well, there's nothing on a Chromebook. I'll never get into a server. There'll never be web. I think that's part of it, but the bigger part is it's really difficult. You're right up there with the standards of a Mac or Linux as far as how durable it is for outside attacks. Yep. Again, if you watch your email and just take good care of your stuff, you're going to be just golden. I really like the Chromebooks. I truly do. And you can now buy an operating system and keep them going after they're supposedly be out of life, end of life. If it's running, you don't have to get rid of them anymore.
No.
And I think it's like $50 or some ridiculous low amount of money like that. and away you go. You're up and rolling.
Yeah, I have one that's probably 8 years old, maybe even a little older than that, and it will not update anymore. And I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's true.
I'll send you some information on that operating system. And when you get a little money, you can just check it out anyway. You know, be prepared. Yeah, keep that thing going. See if you can make like 12 years on this baby. I think you can.
Yeah.
I really do. I think you'll make 12, 15 years standing on your head.
Yeah, and it's been good, and the battery life. So it's just something to keep in mind for people. And like I say, the portability and the fact that you don't have a lot of money in it. And they've been able to hold the line pretty well on price. I've had HPs. I've had Asus Chromebooks over the years. And it has been really good equipment. You brought something else up, and it comes to email. Whether you have Gmail or Proton or I have an old Yahoo account, whoever manages your email.
Yep.
And we did get a warning, and I want to bring it up. And this came from Odyssey, our parent company here at News Talk 830 WCCO. And companies will send these out regularly. But it gets back into phishing attacks, and it's a reminder, and I get it at my full-time job in the printing business. It is a smaller company, and it is a privately held company, but their IT department as well sends out notices, and this is probably the biggest concern for anyone on a computer is getting emails. And I want to reiterate this again: calls to urgency, clicking on attachments, giving up your information. You have to be very, very careful. Anything that is a call to action or a sense of urgency should send off warning bells.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is I like to say this to folks too. Those of us that are honest, we have a tendency of trusting people.
Sure.
We can't be that trusting anymore.
No.
We just cannot. If you see something that's got an attachment and you don't know where it came from, don't open it. Do some research first. It's probably going to be nothing. If you get a lot of spam, you're going to want to start cleaning that up. You can just mark it as spam, and they'll keep track of that on your account from them that point forward and just dump it right in spam. That's one thing I got to say with Proton. I haven't emptied my spam trash can in well over a year. They just do it. And I have yet to have anybody call and say, didn't you get that mail? Get them all. They do a tremendous job of filtering out the garbage. I think it's just, and you're going to have multiple emails today. I think everybody should have a Gmail account still. Even though mine's limited, I still got it. In fact, I got like five of them. And Yahoo, absolutely. You know, Yahoo went through some ups and downs like every business in this industry, but they've come a long way the last decade. That I really like Yahoo's myself. I got a Yahoo account. I even have a @live.com account from Microsoft, and they were only out for a little while. So, yeah, nothing wrong with having multiples. Sometimes you got to check, take a day and say, well, I got to look at some of those I haven't looked at for a week or so. And if they're that important of an address, you can forward it to your daily driver. And if you start to think in those terms, multiples won't be a problem at all. And you are going to be using yours, I'm sure, for sending separate files that are really important that you want to keep. That's a great, great process you do. But multiple emails, absolutely. It's getting to the point where you got to have multiple browsers and multiple emails. It just makes sense.
Yeah, and once again, just that friendly reminder to all users. Maybe you're retired, maybe you don't work anymore and get those emails from the IT department at work. Attachments and urgent calls to action. And they can be very subtle. It can be a bank or a credit card or anything, a utility, you name it. Be very, very careful. And do a little bit of research before you respond. And by all means, giving up personal information, address, and then things like social security number, credit card numbers, You got to be very careful.
Yeah, and a legitimate company will never ask you for those things. Never.
Right.
It's just a protocol that they all follow.
Yes.
And let's face it, and now, you know, they're sending out stuff for Social Security and Medicare now. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And they look so official, Steve, I almost click on them.
Well,
then I do a little research. No, we didn't send that.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Surveys where you can get a gift card, etc. Uh-huh. You just clicking on things can open a door you don't want to open.
The problem with that is you'll quickly read through this thing and there's 500 page agreement that I got to do if I want to do that. Well, I want that product, so I go ahead and I buy it, right? Well, then a year later, I get a bill for a subscription that I never used and never got. And you, to try to unwind that, it's difficult. I lost about $70 a couple of years ago. So yeah, you just can't tell. You know, unless you sit down and read that whole entire contract, you're agreeing to it. Just the way it is. I wish they would have a size of contract and some kind of standardization. And again, we got to talk about our government being a little bit behind. But that's things that they could take care of in a couple of days if they really wanted to, I think. I don't know. They just need to get managed, I think. But it's up to you. You got to be self-reliant and defensive. That's it. You have no choice.
Yeah, for sure, because in a lot of ways, still the Wild West out there on the Internet, a term we've used a lot over the years. Quick break. We'll come back. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug, still time, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. That is the talk and text line, and we'll go there in a moment. We've got the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney and more here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, and good to have Doug back on the air. Of course, Tech Talk Saturdays between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting. By the way, the Twins in Arizona, they'll play the Diamondbacks again tonight, and we'll be on the air with the lineup card at 8:30. First pitch just after 9 o'clock tonight, game 2 of the 3-game series. Diamondbacks won it last night in Phoenix. All right, Doug, let's jump right back into it. And what is the best way to help protect my parents who still want to use their computer and email, but I'm worried about them clicking on something nefarious? And, Doug, I got a simple answer. Don't click on something nefarious. Reach out. My mom does that now all the time. Hey, I got this. What do you think? And I immediately say, it is spam. It is a phishing attack by no circumstances. And I've kind of scared her a little bit. But
nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Yeah, where it just can be fraught with peril.
Oh, goodness, yes. Well, and the thing is it can happen so fast.
Oh,
There are literally thousands of stories on the Internet of people who have lost hundreds of thousands into the millions of dollars because of one small error. And, they took over your phone? Well, if they take over your phone, they take over your life. It really, that's got the fancy little IEMI number, whatever it is, I don't recall offhand. But that number is more important than a Social Security number. And it's important that you talk to your provider and find out if your number is locked in to their service. Because if it is, nobody can change anything without your permission.
Yeah.
If it isn't, it's like it's in limbo being transferred. And some of these people are actually taking that, they're shutting that off on people that are still users. I don't, that should be a law too. If the company is responsible, if they're responsible or complicit in any way, that you have lost, they have to suffer as well.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop until we get that done.
Yeah, and Doug, I wanted to jump in on this. And, you know, we're not intentionally trying to scare one or press the panic button. But it is very serious. And I go back to corporate or company IT departments and mm-hmm. the training they go through and remind people that, you know, to avoid ransomware or any other attacks on a company's system. And then beyond that, your personal information, your data, your computer, your photos, you know, minding attachments and where these attachments come from. I can't stress it enough. Slow down. If something comes from your bank, say, okay, maybe my bank's trying to reach me. Then, you know, open another window and go to your bank account. If it's mm-hmm. during business hours, maybe your bank, credit cards, answer the phone 24/7. Reach out to them. Make a phone call. Check it out first. It's just mm-hmm. when you get something, and once again, it's not always, but the really dangerous ones, in my opinion, are that urgent call to action. You need to do something now.
Yep, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. And one thing, too, is even if it's the middle of the night and you can't get a hold of the person who normally helps you with these things, go and check it out on a search page. Whether you're using Google, I really like Brave Search lately. Google is a tremendous place. Just put in that web address or put in that whatever's in that email and then do a space plus, is this a scam? And press enter. Another good place to check. If you don't know this company and you really want to do business with them, go to TrustPilot.com, TrustPilot.com. They're doing a tremendous job keeping track of people's reviews around the planet. That I'm really impressed with this website. I use it at least a couple times a month. It's just wonderful. So there are revenues. But I'd like just mention to the seniors one more time, they're really coming after us. They really are. If you're collecting Social Security of any type, even SSDI, even if for disability, or Medicare, any of those, you're going to get things that look very, very real. And generally, you can go right straight to their website, and the front page will say, this is what you probably got is nonsense. They don't like dealing with it either. But generally, especially Medicare is right on top of this. And you're right when it comes to IT people. I've had customers say, well, why do they care about my home computer? Well, because you'll drag it into work.
Yeah, sure.
They're really taking care of all of you, Ray, at this point.
Yeah, and the idea is to train everyone on good behavior to shut the bad guys down. Hey, Doug, we've got to run. What's your phone number? What's your email? How do people reach out to you?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. admin@wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thanks so much for having me on, Steve.
All right, Doug, always good to visit with you. Have a good week, and we'll visit with Doug again very soon, sports schedules permitting. We have all the news, all the weather at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll get a hockey update. One of the Wild going to make some big moves this offseason. Jess Myers will join us from the Pioneer Press.